This podcast replay is brought to you by American Dream Lending. For purchase or refinance, call 786-802-1727. Fast approvals and quick closings. American Dream Lending. Turning dreams into a lifestyle. Call 786-802-1727 or visit adreamlending.com.
The legend that is Yo Shad in the Slick Room as always. How was your weekend, young man?
It's going well, man. I really enjoyed watching that football. You know, there's probably a couple of more playoff teams than we need in the field. Yeah. I think, you know, you could have gone without that seven seed, but the NFL is never going to do that. They're not going to take away product. So, yeah, I know.
But way you know, too much money.
The teams that beat up on the seven seeds, Big O, is there any chance that it's actually better for them to have like sort of a warm up for the playoffs as opposed to having that bye week? Or are the teams with the bye week always going to be in an advantage because of the rest?
You know, I don't even know how to answer that because I've seen both work for teams. You know what I'm saying? I would rather have the week off personally to rest guys up, get them fresher for the whole thing. Playing actually puts you at risk at getting injured for the following week, and then you're missing somebody going into that next game, which may hurt you in advancing. So I personally, listen, if you're well-coached and your players are pros, they can handle the – in fact, they look forward to the week off, and they'll be much more fresher overall for that. Hey, look, we saw it in the Dolphins game towards the end here where they had 5 days rest. And well, it was 5 days of turnaround. It wasn't even rest, but you could tell that they were the team that was out of gas while the other team had 10 days of rest in the process. So you saw that this year.
Yeah, I mean, for Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, I think it's ideal to have that extra week of rest. For Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans, I guess the one thing it does is it gives Derrick Henry that extra week. So,
yes,
but the round of eight games are going to be really good. I've always enjoyed – my favorite weekend has always been the Championship Sunday with the AFC and NFC Championship. Sure. But next weekend is going to be almost as good. There are some really appealing matchups. And I just wish that one time we'd be talking about the Dolphins as a part of this, you know.
It'll happen, bro, one day.
Look at the quarterbacks who are standing, though, man. I mean – not to dive right into it, but I mean, you know, if the Dolphins just had one of these Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Josh Allen types, you know, it would give them an edge. Those quarterbacks always seem to be at this point of the game, you know, those are the guys.
Yeah. But if those guys don't have a line in a running game like they don't have now or coaching, it doesn't matter. They would be also outside looking in when it's all said and done. So it's not. They're not a quarterback away, dude. They're an offensive staff away. They're an offensive line away. They're a running game away. They're reliable receivers away. So those guys can only erase so much. We had an eraser. His name was Dan Marino. And because you didn't give him a running game, the right side of the line, or a defense, he didn't win jack crap either.
No, I understand the point. You know, I understand that you need to surround your quarterback with some help. It is also true, and of course, there's only one Tom Brady. It is also true that Tom Brady looked quite good even without Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin.
But he still has Mike Evans. He still has Mike Evans.
A guy who's able to lift everyone up around him, and I guess the Dolphins have made the decision. General manager Chris Greer empowered to make this decision, apparently, and we're going to dive into it here. That he still believes Tua can be a guy to lift the team. Is he right? I don't know. I mean, I guess giving Tua one more year to prove that he's not a person that can lift the team, I'm okay with it. Big O, the part I don't love, and I know you said you had an important question you wanted to ask me, but the part I don't love is going into these interviews with the preconceived notion, hey, you like Tua, right? Hey, Tua's good, right?
Yeah.
I don't love that.
Joe, how come 3 years ago Tom Brady couldn't elevate the Patriots over a 5-win Dolphin team? And he needed that bye week. Need help, bro. Don't matter who you are. And Tom Brady still has a badass defense, still has a badass coaching staff, has a running game, has Mike Evans, has tight ends. So he still has things that Miami doesn't have, and that's why he's also succeeding overall. You know what I'm saying? So doesn't matter. Look, like I mentioned to the people that kind of get into this discussion, Bob Greasy had half of Marino's talents. Half. But he's got two titles that Marino doesn't. Why? Because he had the team that Marino never had. He had the running game Marino never had. He didn't have not one, not two, but he had three running backs. He had a Pro Bowl Hall of Fame offensive line and a defense that had a no name on it. So
I wasn't around for this. I wasn't around for this, but I've read. I'm going to make a separate point. A guy who I've never seen play, I've never hardly even seen highlights, named David Woodley.
Ugh, terrible.
Led
passer.
The Dolphins to a Super Bowl, right? And then it's my understanding that despite that, they felt they needed to upgrade the position, and they did with Danny Marino, right? Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. It was Woodstrock, and Don Strock would save his ass because he would do the passing. Woodley. I watched that. I lived that. So I'm old enough to have lived all of that, by the way, 70s.
So
and
what about
that.
The idea that the Dolphins
but he didn't
might
carry, he didn't, he didn't carry them. Woodley did a couple of plays or whatever. That defense was the heart and soul of that team.
No, but the point that I'm making is that even teams that reached the Super Bowl, Jimmy Garoppolo, others in recent memory, those teams are still looking to upgrade the quarterback position.
Yeah.
And yet here are the Dolphins. They haven't sniffed, 100 miles of the Super Bowl in how long, and they're proclaiming they're all in on Tua for 2022. Help me understand how that makes sense.
Help me understand how you don't understand that if you give him a running game and you give him an offensive line, he can win. And a coaching staff.
Would you
I'm opposite of you. Your problem is, just like the people that don't like Tua, you look at it like you've already given up on the kid and you can't understand that he can win. Where I'm on the other side going, well, he didn't have any coaching. He didn't have an offensive line. Didn't have a running game. Didn't have reliable receivers outside of Waddle. So if you actually – hell, didn't he – their coaching staff was so stupid, they didn't even play Gesicki enough, one of his better weapons. So you and I are completely opposite.
I kept upgrading girlfriends until I found my wife.
Yeah, but Tua hasn't cheated on you. Tua hasn't cheated on you.
Listen, Aaron Rodgers makes it known, or Russell Wilson and Ciara – make it known, hey, I'd like to come down to South Florida.
Are you okay
with that?
I get it. I'm okay. I'm okay with Rodgers. I'm a little scared with Russell because Russell's getting up there in years and he has taken a beating. And I would be very nervous with Russell because of the beating that he has taken, and you're going to give him a big ass contract. And so that's the problem I have with all of this. What you're talking about now is giving up the cap space you have and giving up the ammo you have because you gave up on Tua, whereas I haven't given up on Tua. So I'd rather use the cap space and the ammo to actually get what you don't have. Couple linemen, go get a coaching staff, go get me a middle linebacker, go get me a wide receiver that's reliable in the draft or in free agency, and then let me see what happens with Tua. And then I'll tell you whether I think he's a failure or a success. That's the difference.
This is the ideal situation.
You've turned the page. I have it.
When you have a Joe Burrow on a rookie contract, that is so ideal.
Yep.
From a financial standpoint, when you have a Justin Herbert on as your quarterback on a rookie contract, that is so advantageous from a cap perspective. Unfortunately, Tua hasn't shown that he's either one of those guys yet.
Yeah, I know.
I hope.
How do you under these conditions?
Someone says hope is not a plan, though, right?
No, hope is not a plan. Hope is not a plan.
Would you agree that the Dolphins are hoping that Tua lives up to his draft status and improves greatly in his third season?
No, I think they're hoping they get a coach that can actually build a staff and that they fix the issues in front of him so they can have success with Tua. That's how I think they're thinking, because that's how I'm thinking. You're again, You're in the past tense, bro. You've given up. So you already think they made the mistake. So that's how your point of view is going to be from here on out. That's how you're going to write it. You're going to describe it that way. Whereas I'm open to, let's see what happens with a real coach and a real talent around him. And let me see first if he can succeed or fail.
Well, you've already failed the kid.
You've already failed the kid when they failed around him.
I write and say what I believe to be going on at the moment.
But that's you're telling me that. But you're telling me that
change. If Tua Tagovailoa, with the help of Brian Daboll or Mike McDaniel or Kellen Moore or whoever, makes dramatic improvement, less turnovers, more touchdowns, more yards per attempt, then I will be happy about that. I would say that is awesome for the Dolphins.
Yeah, but you're not awesome saying that's possible. Do you think that's possible?
Well, obviously, I have some concerns that it – but I don't know. We don't know. I thought Tua was going to be a better pro than Justin Herbert. There's a reason that I'm not an NFL general manager. I'm still allowed to express my opinion. But
no, it's fine, but I'm just saying – it's where your opinion is. You're already turned the page is what I'm saying in your opinion because you hear it. You're saying it.
I know you're a Chris Greer fan. Is this Chris Greer's last chance to pick a quarterback? Is this it? Or if Tua flunks in 2022, is he, in your opinion, going to get another chance to pick another quarterback?
No, I think you're looking at it wrong. This is his last chance to pick a coach. And then the coach has to fix the staff, who then fixes the offense and the quarterback. Has nothing to do with the quarterback. If Chris Greer fails to pick the right coach now, it will cost him, Marvin Allen, and Reggie McKenzie their jobs. But I can guarantee that. It's not the quarterback, my brother. It's the coach that you've got to fix the quarterback and the offense. So if he fails doing that, he will never get a chance again to pick another coach or another quarterback.
The last time the Dolphins picked a head coach to fix a quarterback, I was actually, you know, on the beat. Not when the hire was made, but soon thereafter. And that didn't work out because Adam Gase was so quarterback specific. One concern that I have is if they pick a quarterback almost exclusively because they think he picked the coach, almost exclusively because they think he can fix the quarterback, is that too myopic an approach?
See, that's, again, that to me, your point of view is you're trying to fix the quarterback.
You just said fix the quarterback.
No. I haven't said that. I said I'm fixing the offense so the quarterback can perform. I've been pretty clear on that. I'm not fixing it. You need to fix the quarterback. I don't need to fix the quarterback. The way you fix the quarterback is by fixing the offense, my brother. That's the way I view it.
They ran an offense that I'm not.
A quarterback isn't broken.
They drafted his receiver. They ran his college offense.
Joe, how do you run an offense when you can't run? Only one coach is stupid enough to run an RPO when the run isn't a threat. There's only one. His name is Camflo. Okay, I'm not even going to call him his real name. It's Camflo. Only that moron runs an RPO without running being a threat.
Well, Chris Greer passed on Jonathan Taylor.
Just let that marinate. That the quarterback has to run an RPO where the run isn't a threat.
Do you think Chris Greer would like to have the Jonathan Taylor decision back? Of course. We all have decisions we would like to have back.
You think Jonathan Taylor is going to make a difference on this line?
He would make a difference on the Dolphins.
He might end up on the IR is where he ends up. I mean, it's to think that a quarterback was going to change anything this offense does with those coaches and that line and the running game is crazy.
You
to
realize
think that a running back is going to change anything with that line is crazy.
It never changes. It's the same discussion. My first year on the beat as a Dolphins reporter was 02 or 03, and it's like the same discussion. Yeah. Whose fault is it? Is it the GM? Is it the coach? Is it the quarterback? The offensive line isn't good enough. It's just the same conversation over and over again. Who has more power, the coach or the GM? Which one should go? Why aren't we cleaning house entirely? I want to make sure before I go, and I'm not jumping off just yet, but what was the one question that you needed to make sure to ask me?
So unearthed over the weekend that Flo apparently had some really nasty words with Barry Jackson. No, with Barry Jackson and with Omar Kelly.
And others.
And you know, to the point like he told, like, you effed us and, you know, stuff like that. And he talked
Barry really nasty about that.
And Barry kind of, yeah, he didn't write specifics, but he kind of, yeah, he kind of, you know, mentioned it a little. So I asked Omar about it, and he didn't elaborate, but he kind of said, yeah, nobody, you know, I wasn't happy. Nobody talks to me like that. So he was very disrespectful to Omar behind the scenes. So I wanted to ask you, because I only heard about Barry and Omar having some really nasty moments with him behind the scenes. Did you have a nasty moment with Brian Flores behind the scenes?
No, if I did, I would tell you.
I know you would.
Yeah, that actually disappoints me a little. Maybe
you're not afraid to ask
my job as good as I should have. Maybe he didn't care, which is never good. You know, it's, you know, and sometimes you get in a fight with your wife and, you know, you're like, hey, if I didn't care, I wouldn't be fighting, you know, because you care. At least you care. So I guess maybe he didn't care that much about me. But no, he never MF'd me or hung up on me or cursed me out or pulled me over to the side. My frustration's more centered on, hey, you're not being transparent.
Right. Yeah.
You're not being open. You're not being candid. You're not sharing anything. You're not helping us do your job, do our job. And I tried to, you know, explain to some folks around him that I thought that that could hurt him. And I was told that he didn't think that a lack of a relationship with folks around him could hurt him.
Right. Yeah.
He didn't think that it was important.
Yeah.
And I think that Ross felt differently.
Yeah, no, he thought about that with almost everybody in that building.
If he goes to the Giants,
running roughshod through that
building. He's going to get a heads up. If he goes to the Giants or the Texans, will he do what some other Belichick failures have done, which is say, all right, I tried it the Belichick way the first time and it didn't work out. Maybe now I'll sit down and have lunch with my writers. Maybe I'll sit down and have lunch with, you know, my players, you know, like actually try to get to know them as human beings. Because when you fail, you have this self-evaluation. What can I change? What could I have done differently? And, you know, I think that maybe Flores, will have some humility in his second chance.
I don't. I think it's the same thing that happened to Adam Gase. If you get hired right away, you think you're not the problem. That's why they're hiring you. And so then, oh, what I was doing was right, and I'll keep doing what I'm doing. He needs to be humbled in a big-time way. So we'll find out if somebody's stupid enough to hire him, because I think he'll do the same things that he's been doing because he doesn't think that he's wrong. So I think it would be a lot more like Gase. That Gase just was – what he did in the Jets was just an extension of what he was doing here, and he'll
Flores,
do the same.
Flores has told people – and they have echoed this, that he is built different. So he thinks that he is wired different, he is built different than most of us. And he tried to impart that on his players. We are different. We're built different. And, you know, maybe he's not.
All right, before I let you go, who's the candidate that you like the most for the Dolphins?
I mean, it's not like a slam dunk candidate. I wish there was.
For me, it's Caldwell, actually, slam dunk, but whatever.
I'd be okay with Jim Caldwell, especially if he can, you know, retain the defensive scheme and the defensive coaches, whether it's keep Josh Boyer, promote Gerald Alexander.
Or maybe get his own defensive coordinator that's proven and really good. Who knows? You know what I'm saying?
The Dolphins are, I believe, one of the few NFL teams that are not announcing when they have begun or completed interviews, which is weird because they have in the past. Like when Flores was interviewed, they announced who interviewed and when it was. So it's leading me to wonder who's interviewing that they don't want us to know, right? There's got to be a reason. Well, if everybody else is announcing it, they want to be secret.
No, it's not that they don't want you to know. They don't want the other teams that are looking for a head coach to know.
It always gets reported. I mean, the only
weird one is it gets reported, fine, but they don't want it. If they can keep it under wraps, I think that's what they're going
to
do.
They all get reported. I mean, the only one that maybe they can try to keep secret would be Harbaugh.
Right.
Look, Harbaugh's a really good coach, and he's a slam dunk as a coach. I don't want to deal with him because I find him to be frustrating and difficult and weird.
Yeah, he is. But I don't think he's built for men. I think he's built for kids. I like his brother for built for men. I disagree with you. I think Jim Harbaugh is a disaster in the making. But
he's a really smart football coach. He just burns people out really fast. And that's why I can't see Ross doing it. I can't, because you're following Flores. It's got to be, you look at the list of people. These are nice people. Thomas Brown, Dan Quinn, Mike McDaniel, Kellen Moore, Vance Joseph, Brian Daboll. I've met all these people. Jim Caldwell. They're all nice people.
They're all nice human beings. Yeah.
They're good human beings. And that's a nice place to start. I look forward to working with any of those folks. The Daboll thing,
he's the one I would hire.
What about this?
Out of the ones that don't have experience, he's the only one that I would hire.
How about this? He's got 5 Super Bowl rings with Belichick. Now, 8, Peter King wrote this today, 8 of the 9 Belichick disciples failed to win even a single playoff game.
Yeah.
So everything I've read and heard is this guy is real. And they said the same thing. Oh, Flo's his own man. He was more like Belichick than he would like to admit.
Yes.
Maybe this guy Daboll really is his own man. I think
you've met him. He's not like Flo.
Friendly guy.
Belichick. Yeah.
Yeah. I read Mike Reese from the Patriots said that he was hugging Patriots coaches and players after the most recent playoff game.
Yeah.
And so their show tells you something like, yeah, he's really got some. Yeah, but it's always different when you're a head coach, you know. I remember Cal Van Noy said, oh, the Brian Flores head coach is different than the Brian Flores coordinator. Well, you got to be. You're the man now.
Right. You're right. But by the way, I don't know if you've been digging in this. I hear Daboll's like the leader, like by 8,000 miles in that building.
Well, they went and interviewed him in person.
Like, as much as I love Caldwell, he's nowhere near Daboll right now in this race. Like he is way ahead of everybody. That's what I'm told.
Yeah, I mean, they went and interviewed Daboll in person when some of the other teams are doing it on Zoom. And I think that's a smart move by the Dolphins.
Big time.
If in fact, he's, you know, the guy that they really – I mean, listen, he's the offensive coordinator for the Bills. He's been in Miami. He's coached Tua. He's a good human being. It makes sense. He's coached for Saban and Belichick, but hopefully he really is his own guy.
Well, he also fills the box that I like. And what I didn't like about Flo is the same thing I didn't like about Philbin. They were stuck in one place their entire career, and they didn't bounce around. Daboll was in the Pats, then the Jets, then the Browns, then the Dolphins, then KC, back to New England, Bama, and then the Bills. Yeah. And he ends up by developing his own quarterback.
It's Mangini, Crennel, it's other Belichick disciples he worked with.
But he meets other coaches too. So his Rolodex is a lot bigger because he's bounced around now. You know what I'm saying? So I just think he has a better chance out of the assistants. Personally, for me, I'm a Caldwell guy, but the Daboll one, I kind of understand. I do understand that.
Yeah. If they make the hire, I hope that only like 15% of it is because of the familiarity with Tua and what is likely a recommendation from Tua.
Okay.
I hope it's not like, 40% of this is Tua likes him. You know, like Flo hired Chan Gailey on Ryan Fitzpatrick's recommendation. Turns out that wasn't a terrible recommendation. Did you know that in the last 15 years, the Dolphins have finished in the top 15 of offense only 5 times?
And Gailey's won.
Twice Chan Gailey was the OC.
Yeah.
How weird is that? And like,
he's a good coach, dude. I've always liked him.
Years apart, like totally different.
And the group he did it with the last time when he was here, it's an go look at that talent. It's impressive that he was able to be a good offensive coordinator with those guys. He's a good coach, dude. I'm a big Chan Gailey fan. And he told them 2 years ago, he says Tua's not ready yet, and he still wanted to start him. So that's probably why Chan also left, because it's like, okay, well, I do my job, and I'm telling the coach that the kid's not ready yet, and he still wants to throw him out there. I can't do my job. You know what I mean? I'm sure Chan Gailey was like, dude, I'm retired. I don't need this crap. I'm out of here. You know what I mean? So I don't blame him. All right. What are you working on the Palm Beach Post? Huh?
I'll see you on Wednesday.
Yes. What are you working on the Palm Beach Post?
Today I'm working on clearing the back patio so that they can lay down the, I don't know if you call it pavers or stonework or decking material.
Okay.
If I showed you my backyard, man, it is.
But it's going to look beautiful, bro. In the end, don't worry about it. It's not now. It's the finished product after.
You know what the contractor told me today? Hey, I ran short of material. Well, how long is it going to take you to get material? You don't want to know the answer, bro.
Months. I know.
Long time.
I know. Sliding glass door took us 6 months.
I'll be swimming in training camp.
Six months to fix our sliding glass door, dude. We had to take our dogs around the house to go to the backyard to go do their business. It was just a pain in the ass, dude. So, yeah. So
check me out on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Shad Joe. Right.
Shad Joe, baby. And subscribe to the Palm Beach Post, please. Support Joe and all the great writers there. Joe, much love, my brother. We'll see you Wednesday. Be good.
See you, bud.
You got it. There you go. Joe Shad from the Palm Beach Post. Good stuff, as always. Our American Dream Lending Miami Dolphins report.